Herman. The daily call serves as a pause in our day, a few moments to step back, to gather as one Klal Yisrael, and to daven together on behalf of the many needs of our people. Thank you so much for making this call part of your day on Yom Sheni, the ninth day of Teves here in the United States, and already Yom Shlishi, the tenth day of Teves in Eretz Yisrael. We continue to daven for all of our brothers and sisters in Israel, that the body of the one remaining hostage, Ran Gibili, still being unjustly held in Gaza, be returned for a proper burial without delay. Amongst all Chole Yisrael, including those suffering from any type and in need of any refuah, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, please keep in mind in your tefillos, your prayers, Rafael, Yitzchak, Aaron, and Malka, Chana, Nehi, and all those in need have a refuah shalema. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Ira Eben of Congregation Oaf Shalom in Merrick, New York, to share words of Dibrei Chizuk. Following Rabbi Eben's remarks, we will recite together Tehillim, beginning with Perek Chaf, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and concluding with Kuf Lamed, chapters 20, 121, and 130. Tehillim will be followed by Achenu, recited in both Hebrew and translated into English. Rabbi Eben will then lead us in the Mishaberach for our dear Chayalin, and finally then concluding with the Mishaberach Lecholim, pausing for about 30 seconds, so each of us here on the call can insert the names of all those we are davening for. To sign up for the daily reminder email, I want to welcome all those who have joined over the weekend. Please do so by visiting ou.org/Tehillim Call. Again, the link to register for the daily email is ou.org/Tehillim Call. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Eben.
Thank you, as always, Rabbi Herman, for all that you do and for the opportunity to speak to this remarkable group who call in day after day to learn a little Torah and to say some Tehillim on behalf of Klal Yisrael. It is always truly a privilege to be invited back again and again and again. What our listening audience may not be aware of is that this there is actually someone who has been keeping track of all the speakers on this forum, and he informed me that this is, I believe, either my 30th or perhaps my 31st time speaking on this call, which I believe unofficially makes me an employee of the OU, and I'm just waiting for my 1099 at the end of the year here. I also have to say that I'm always pleased when you, Rabbi Herman, or Rebecca reach out to me as a last-minute replacement, even at the 11th hour, because it gives my mother-in-law, Esther Shurin, the opportunity to remind her friends that her son-in-law is a rabbi, just in case they may have forgotten. So as it happens to be, today is also, ironically, my grandfather's yard site, Yitzchak Isaac ben Moshe, Zechon HaMebracha. So if I may, I'd like to dedicate this learning in his chut, that his neshama should have an aliyah, and I'm sure the OU will send me a bill later. So interestingly, and for that, my grandfather's yard site, the Ninth of Teves, coincides with the traditional yard site of two towering figures in Jewish history, Ezra HaSofer and Nehemiah. Now, Chazal associate the 8th, 9th, and 10th of Teves with moments of profound darkness. The beginning of the siege of Jerusalem, the onset of Galut, the translation of the Torah into Greek, and the loss of these two leaders, Nehemiah and Ezra, who left the nation spiritually vulnerable. To appreciate why their passing mattered so much, we need to remember what Ezra and Nehemiah were actually facing at that time, 2,500 years ago. After Cyrus the Great gave permission for the Jews to return and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, and you can read this in the book of Ezra, only about 42,300 Jews made the journey back to Jerusalem. The rest, very generous no doubt, sent their checks to the OU Bayit Sheni campaign, but remained comfortably in the diaspora. And Ezra and Nehemiah were both high-ranking officials in the Persian court, and they made a very different choice. They left their positions with permission of the king, the positions of comfort and prestige and security to rebuild Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael. And what they found when they arrived was deeply discouraging. They found a fragile remnant of a nation, widespread assimilation, they found intermarriage and a Judaism that seemed to be slipping away. Now, Ezra's contribution is better known, and rightly so. Ezra fundamentally reshaped Jewish religious life. He instituted public Torah readings, he formalized brachot, he expanded access to Sifrei Torah, and according to the tradition, even helped change the Hebrew script to make it more accessible. But Ezra didn't just preserve Judaism, he rescued it in a moment when it was in danger of spiritual collapse. He was, in many ways, an unsung hero who saved Judaism itself. And we owe an incredible debt of gratitude. We would not be here today if it wasn't for Ezra. But perhaps his less appreciated is the indispensable role of Nehemiah. I think an unsung hero. Don't worry, he has 30 chapters of the book. I'm not sure how many people read it, and you should. Because it kind of tells the story of this incredible Nehemiah. Nehemiah served as the governor of the region, which was empowered by the Persian king. He organized the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls, creating the physical security. Without there would be no spiritual revival, and that led to the building of the Beit HaMikdash, the second Beit HaMikdash. The book of Nehemiah describes the moment powerfully. He describes what was happening while they were building. With one hand they did work, while the other hand they held a weapon to deal with the adversity and the challenges of whether it be the Samaritans or the other enemies of the Jews. There was this constant worry. While they built, they also had to defend themselves. In an essay published in Mosaic magazine last December, Yuval Levin describes this as the Nehemiah model, a model that has guided Jewish rebuilding in every generation. The work of building must happen simultaneously with the work of defending. Without defense, rebuilding cannot endure. But without rebuilding, defense becomes empty survival, detached from purpose. If all we do is defend ourselves, we forget why we exist. We lose our calling to be an Or L'Gayim, a moral and spiritual presence in the world. Nehemiah teaches us that Jewish continuity requires both. And while Ezra may have saved Judaism, without Nehemiah, there would have been no Ezra. And that model feels strikingly relevant today. Of course, in Medina Yisrael, where we see, Baruch Hashem, thank God, the IDF defends Am Yisrael, even as the nation strives to grow and build and flourish. They obviously need that hand in hand. But the truth is, the Nehemiah model applies just as powerfully to us in the diaspora. We constantly struggle to balance protection and engagement. On the one hand, we guard our identity. We're worried about influences that could dilute who we are. But on the other hand, if we retreat entirely inward, we become isolated. We fail in our mission to sanctify God's name to the broader world. So you might say that we live with a constant tension between what we refer to as Havdalah and Kiddush, between separation and sanctifying. The reality is that Judaism demands both. Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook suggests this balance appears already in last week's portion. The Midrash tells us that Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead of the family in order to establish Batei Midrashot, Yeshivot, before anything else. Rav Cook explains that Jewish survival requires both the leadership of Yosef, who provides material and political stability, and the leadership of Yehuda, who provides spiritual direction. One without the other can never sustain a nation. Now the reality is none of this is simple. None of this is easy. Something that we've struggled with for now 2,500 years. But as we approach the fast of Asara B'Tevet tomorrow, and as we mark the yahrzeit of the great Nehemiah today, we are reminded of this enduring challenge to build and to defend, to preserve and to inspire, to survive and to sanctify. And if we hold fast to that model, then even after any darkness that we endure, we will always be able to rebuild once again. Now, we'll recite some Tehillim. Join me in Parak Chaf. Thank you, as always, to the OU for providing this link for me. L'Amaseach Mizmor L'David. Yancha Adonai B'Yom Tzara, Yisran Tzavcha Shem Elohe Yaakov. Yishlach Esrcha Mikodesh V'Mitzion Yisadeka. Yizkar B'Kol Minchotecha V'Olefcha Yidash V'Tzela. Yitein L'Chal Chololecha V'Chol Atzatcho Yimalei. Yirana Rishu Atecha, Rishim Elohim Nigo, Yimana Adonai Komu Shalatecha. Nafshi l'adonai mishamar aboker, shamar aboker. Tell Israel el adonai, kev adonai chesed arvim lofidut. Li yisdeh et Yisrael, l'kol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael, anetimu b'tzaro v'shubi ha'omdu ben bayam v'ben bayam v'shah. V'makom yirachim aleyem. V'yotei mitzal l'revacha v'yafei ala or v'shibu l'gula, hashta bagolus makariv v'numar amein. V'shabarach avoteinu, avar mitzv Yaakov, hu yirach et chayelei tzava ha'gana l'Yisrael. V'anshei kolchot ha'bitachon, Amen. Yisheberach avoteinu, amaritzat Yaakov, Moshe Aron, David, Shlomo, v'yivrech et acholim v'et acholot. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yomalei Rachamim Aleihem Rachamim Apatot Laupam Lachkam Yachyotam Shachan Eher Fush Lim Nishamayim Kol Avraham Lachol Gideyem Atov Shach Koy Yisrael For the Nefesh For the Gof Hashtab Agolz Makariv Benumar Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Evan. Great as always to have you back on, and we look forward to having you back on tomorrow or whenever that will be next. I also want to thank Rebecca for all of her help behind the scenes and clearly not being able to find someone for tomorrow and just going to our fallback, our greatest ever backup. Again, Rabbi Evan, so appreciative, so thankful. It really, really means the world to us that you are with your humility, and I really genuinely mean that, and your willingness just to step up last minute really means a lot. So thank you. Don't despair. Remember that the best is yet to come. The heart's full of faith. Stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Looks like I skipped a line here. We're going to continue the call, obviously, tomorrow for our next scheduled program, Tuesday, fast day at 1 p.m. As each day, we pause at this time to share a moment of tefillah, of prayer together. Wishing nechama, comfort, chizik, strength, and hope to all of Klal Yisrael around the world. Wishing everyone a safe and wonderful day.